booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. I'm Juliet Huddy. Very quickly, I know I had to mention this because I was listening to the end of your show, and you got that guy that always calls in and says, we want the Floridoras. The Floridora dancers were a group of little girl dancers on the Our Gang series. And Spanky had invited them to dance in his cellar. They were referred to as the Floridoris, the Floridori Sextet, whatever. But they ran late for a show that Spanky was putting on, so he got the other boys to wear the little girls' dresses and replace them. So now we know the rest of the story.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Yes.
You got to jump in live when you hear a Juliet alert that you want to comment on or clarify.
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't know this, so I just started to research it because I couldn't take it anymore because this guy, the Floridoris thing, makes me crazy for some reason. So I had to do my investigation and thank God for Google.
The things that drive you crazy,
it's the little things in life.
I love it. All right. Well, what's happening?
Well, I want to talk to you really quickly about the weather because we're going to have a very cool day compared to what we've been seeing from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds today. We may have a stray shower or thunderstorm, but nothing to worry about. Again, a high of 80 degrees, which is kind of crazy, although we will have some pretty serious humidity today. Tonight, low of 66 degrees, and again, we may have a chance for a shower or even a pretty heavy shower. We actually had showers out in Huntington overnight, I noticed. I was woken up to the pitter-patter of the rain. As for tomorrow, we're getting down to 75, which is kind of nice, but unfortunately, we're going to have rain showers in the morning and then thunderstorms in the afternoon, so you probably won't be able to appreciate that nice weather, the nice temperature at least. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms are likely in the evening and scattered thunderstorms around the entire tri-state area, 69 degrees. Friday, though, into Saturday, into Sunday, it's actually looking really, really nice. Friday, the weekend begins. We're looking at 82. Have some clouds in the morning, no big deal, but mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. And Friday evening is going to be chilly, 59 degrees. Saturday, 78 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Oh, I cannot wait to go to the pool Saturday, our neighbor's pool. And then Sunday, we're looking at 78 degrees, partly cloudy. We'll have some clouds and some sun with afternoon showers or thunderstorms, but nothing too crazy. So that's pretty cool. Not bad news. And right now in New York City, it is 71 degrees.
All right. Well, members of a House Select Committee investigating the U.S. Capitol attack are sharing their plan after the first hearing. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson said they'll be led by the facts in their investigation. The Mississippi Democrat added the committee could come back before the end of Congress's August recess. Illinois Republican Adam Kinzinger described the time that we're in as a democracy-defending moment. He said he'll stand up for democracy no matter the consequences he might face.
And we'll definitely hear from some of the players in yesterday's committee hearing, including the police officers. In the meantime, let's get over to Joe Nolan for traffic on the sevens because, look, we just want to hear Joe's voice this morning. It's been a while. It's been a while, Joe.
It's been all 24 hours, that's rough.
But what a 24 hours.
What a 24 hours it has been.
Mm. Yes, indeed. And we've had some weather overnight. And as a result of that, whenever there's bad weather, there's always bad traffic. They go together. So
yes. As
you head inbound on the LIE now, we're closed. All lanes are shut down between Casino Boulevard and Main Street. An accident investigation at one point, the right and center lanes were closed, but now they've got the whole thing shut down. That's inbound on the LIE. We're bumper to bumper, of course, as you approach that from the Clearview and growing very, very quickly. Apparently, there's a down pole along with that. A couple of things in New Jersey, too. Northbound Jersey Turnpike, the outer north of 7. An accident in the left lane. If you're eastbound on Route 80 at exit 58, Madison Avenue, look for a crash. Again, the left lane out of service. And then an accident on the New England Thruway, northbound, getting off at Mamaroneck Avenue, one lane out. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. And this report is a service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. And let's get to some of the news. As you heard, it was a jaw-dropping day on Capitol Hill, Frank. The committee investigating the January 6th riot held the first meeting. And if you had any questions about the seriousness of the threat to the Capitol and those working there that day, including the men and women in uniform, they were hopefully laid to rest. New video previously on scene showed the drama of the day, including supporters of the president destroying parts of the then president, destroying the parts of the Capitol structure itself, screaming obscenities and throwing dangerous and potentially deadly objects at those charged with protecting the building and its guests. You could hear police officers pleading for backup as the insurrectionists hurled racist, obscene threats at them. Four of those officers were on hand to testify about what they experienced. And by far, I mean, pretty much each one after the next was just more disturbing than the next. Let's start with Officer Harry Dunn. He was, by most people's estimations, a hero that day. He testified that he was hounded by racists chanting hate speech. Here's Harry Dunn.
I know so many other officers continue to hurt, both physically and emotionally. I want to take this moment to speak to my fellow officers about the emotions they are continuing to experience from the events of January 6th. There's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking professional counseling. What we went through that day was traumatic. And if you are hurting, please take advantage of the counseling services that are available to us. I also respectfully ask that this select committee review the available resources, the services available to us, and consider whether they are sufficient enough to meet our needs, especially with respect to the amount of leave that we are allowed.
Each one of those officers broke down in tears throughout their testimony, as did some of the congresspeople hearing the testimony, including Adam Kinzinger. And we'll continue to bring you some of the sound from this really just emotional and just disturbing testimony.
Simone Biles is prioritizing her mental health over the Summer Olympics. The world's number one women's gymnast announced she will not defend her gold medal in the individual all-around on Thursday. The American superstar had previously withdrawn from Tuesday's team gymnastics final due to mental health reasons. Following today's announcement, Following today's announcement, USA Gymnastics issued a statement saying, "We wholeheartedly support Simone's decision and applaud her bravery in prioritizing her well-being."
Well, way to step up, mom and dad. Got to give a bravo to these parents. Two of the three teenagers who were suspected of launching that disgusting attack on an off-duty firefighter as he was walking his dog in New York City have been turned in to police by their parents and charged with assault. The NYPD announced the arrest of the two suspects, who are aged 15 and 16, yesterday, and they praised the hard work and dedication of the detectives who were working on it. Of course, you saw the video. Possibly. It was released earlier this week showing the teens and a third assailant who is still at large attacking an off-duty firefighter. The teens now in custody, again, were turned in by their parents, and they are going to be facing a judge in family court, obviously, because of their ages. The 44-year-old victim, father of three, was not badly injured, although he was repeatedly punched, kicked, and struck on the head with a glass bottle.
Federal agents are carrying out search warrants across Florida in connection with the assassination of Haiti's president. The Miami Herald says teams of FBI and Homeland Security agents fanned out across South Florida yesterday and are focusing on two businessmen Haitian authorities believe funded and trained the assassin who killed President Jovenel Moïse earlier this month. The report says the federal probe is trying to determine whether Miami area businesses conspired to provide material support that led to the assassination. Federal authorities have not commented.
Well, there was, I don't know, Frank, if you heard about this, it was a really, really scary scene over in California overnight. An 18-year-old TikTok star was shot. An 18-year-old, rather, was shot, and her friend was critically injured. He's a TikTok star. While watching the horror movie, the Forever Purge, which I guess is the latest installment of the Purge. This happened during the 9:30 screening, the 9:30 p.m. screening at the Regal Edwards Corona Crossings movie theater in Corona, California. Riley Goodrich, young woman, 18 years old, was found dead. Anthony Barajas, 19 years old, was gravely wounded. This movie apparently is about a dystopian America where murder is legal once a year for 12 hours. This is just really, really disturbing. Staff discovered both victims while they were cleaning up after the movie ended, which is very strange because one of the employees from the theater said during the actual movie time, nobody heard the gunshot. They said that they do security bag checks daily, but unfortunately, maybe this person had a gun in a holster or something like that. Anyway, the young man who is fighting for his life, Barajas, he is a TikTok personality with more than a million followers, and cops did not recover a firearm at the scene. This again happened about just after midnight our time, so this is obviously something that's still in play.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants the National Guard to help with arrests at the Mexican border. He sent a letter to Texas National Guard Major General Tracy Norris Tuesday saying DPS needs all the help it can get capturing suspects. Abbott believes it's important to protect the rule of law and help civil authorities guard or transport prisoners. He issued a disaster declaration in May saying a surge in illegal border crossings were causing property damage and posed a threat to Texas.
Well, it's not a mandate, but it might as well be, or I should say it's not a mandate yet. The CDC on Tuesday reversed their earlier guidance and now recommends everyone, including fully vaccinated Americans, wear masks again indoors in some situations. The move comes as, of course, the Delta variant spread like wildfire, fueled by unvaccinated Americans in states with low vaccination rates, according to the experts. Cases in the U.S. increased by nearly 400% in just the last month alone. And we're now seeing this extra dangerous variant causing breakthrough cases among people who have had their shots, unfortunately. Thankfully, at least for now, most of those cases are not severe. Experts are worried, though, that the unvaccinated pockets of the country are potential breeding grounds for new mutations. So not even concerned about so much about the Delta variant as they are the new mutations, which could be resistant to vaccines and more deadly. And of course, again, if you're unvaccinated, you have a higher chance of spreading this. So some in the medical community fear 2020 was nothing compared to what we could see if we don't get this Delta strain under control.
Well, time for sports, and thanks to the good folks over at Peerless Boilers, I am happy to bring you this day in sports.
Well, that's wonderful, Frank.
Thank you. Yes, we'll see if we have what it takes. As a Met fan, believe me, it can be quite depressing talking about sports after a game like the one that we had last night. Good news for the Yankees, though. Jordan Montgomery shut down the Tampa Bay offense as the Yankees beat the Rays 4-3 in Florida. Montgomery struck out 5 in 5 innings of scoreless ball. And could be a sign of things to come, the Yankees are dealing a pair of bullpen arms to Cincinnati. Luis Sessa and Justin Wilson are heading to the Reds for a player to be named later. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is Friday at noon, so expect a lot of transactions between now and then. The Yankees will look to make it 2 in a row tonight as they take on the Rays at the Trop. As for the Mets, Austin Riley hit a grand slam as the Braves dismantled the Metropolitans 12-5 in Flushing. Along with his bases-clearing knock, Riley mashed a two-run homer to record a career-high 6 runs batted in. Jeff McNeil and Brandon Drury each hit 2-run bombs for the Mets. Jared Eichhoff took his second loss, allowing 10 runs and 5 walks. The Mets have now lost 3 of their last 5. The Mets, though, fortunately are 3.5 games clear of the Phillies for first place in the National League East. They will play the Braves tonight. The NBA draft is tomorrow night. The Knicks will select 19th and 21st in the first round. Brooklyn will have the 27th overall selection. The Detroit Pistons have the number one pick. Thanks to Peerless Boilers, that's what's happening in the world of sports. And now here's traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. Chapman threw 103 miles an hour last night.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Whoa.
Inbound on the LIE, bumper-to-bumper, exit 27 through Casino Boulevard, where all lanes are closed. An accident investigation at that point. So, again, all lanes shut down on the Long Island Expressway. They're saying it's out to the Clearview. I would imagine if this thing isn't open within the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a major, major problem coming inbound on the LIE. We really already do. Southbound Drive, 79 to 71. Construction, two lanes are out. Jersey Turnpike, north of 7. An outer roadway accident, left lane out. Eastbound on Route 80 at exit 58. A crash in the left lane. Garden State Parkway, southbound at exit 120. A disabled bus, again, the right lane out there. And on the New England Thruway, northbound, the ramp to Mamaroneck Avenue. An accident on that off-ramp and alternate side is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Fascinating, fascinating, Joe. Hey, Frank, I know that you're doing like triple duty today. So quadruple duty, actually. The other side of midnight, today's show, sports and business. What do we have coming up in business, or have you not been able to prepare
for that? There will be a big decision about the federal interest rate out today.
Oh, boy. That is fantastic. I have been waiting for that with bated breath. Also, so that is coming up in your business report. Also coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. If you're looking for something to do this weekend and you want to help out your community, I have the perfect advice.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed out yesterday in the red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 85 points. The S&P 500 lost 20 points. And the NASDAQ dropped 180 points. As promised, the Federal Reserve is set to announce its decision on interest rates today. The central bank is expected to leave rates in the 0 to 1/4% range when the decision is announced at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Reports on wholesale inventories and the trade goods balance for June are due at 8:30 this morning. Analysts forecast an 0.8% rise in inventories and a more than $1 billion decline in the nation's trade goods deficit. Juliet.
Thank you. All right. The committee investigating the January 6th riot held its first meeting yesterday. If you happen to watch it, it was riveting. Four of those officers who were injured were on hand to testify about what they experienced that day. You heard from Officer Harry Dunn earlier this hour. By far, one of the more disturbing moments was during the testimony of Capitol Cop Michael Fanone. He is the officer. He is the guy that did the first interview very early on, and everybody called him Hot Cop. But he is the officer who suffered a heart attack from his injuries after being surrounded by rabid, angry protesters and rioters bent on getting into the Capitol, even if it meant defying the Back the Blue mantra that Trump had touted and the right had echoed throughout the course of his administration. Fanone told the committee that he was repeatedly tasered by the thugs and even had his gun pulled, which the rioters then used to threaten him with. Here is Officer Fanone.
What we were subjected that they was
that's
like something.
That's not Officer Fanone. Let's get to Officer Fanone. I apologize.
All right. I think we're going to work on getting that piece of audio in just a minute. But it was certainly an interesting day of hearings, though, and it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. We have Officer
Yes, that's my fault, because I actually told our board operator that we were doing the second gentleman, Aquilino Gunnell, first.
But yeah, yet another radio show ruined by Juliet.
Exactly. Just they just keep dropping like flies. What can I say?
What we were suggested that they was like something from a medieval battle. We fought hand to hand, inch by inch, to prevent an invasion of the Capitol by a violent mob intent on subverting our democratic process. My fellow officers and I were committed to not letting any rioters breach the Capitol. It was a prolonged and desperate struggle.
That is Aquilino Gunnell, the officer that told the committee how his time serving in Iraq did not prepare him for what he experienced that day, including being called a traitor and being threatened with execution. And we'll hear more from the two other officers, Daniel Hodges and Michael Fanone, a little bit later on in this broadcast.
A federal court is ordering craft store Hobby Lobby to surrender an ancient artifact it purchased in 2014. the Gilgamesh Dream Tablet, a tablet that originated in what's now Iraq and purchased by Hobby Lobby's president for nearly $1.7 million. Federal officials sought to seize the artifact with the inscription of one of the world's oldest works of literature to return it to Iraq. Hobby Lobby had previously agreed to hand over thousands of artifacts from Iraq and pay a $3 million fine in 2017 in order to settle a civil action suit brought on by the Justice Department.
Well, some scary events out there in California once again in Culver City. This time, though, comedian and actor Bob Odenkirk. He was hospitalized Tuesday night, last night, after he collapsed on the set of Better Call Saul, according to sources. The 58-year-old, quote, went down while filming in Culver City. The actor is still hospitalized, according to a source close to him, and they're not quite sure at this point, or at least they're not reporting what happened. No further information released on his condition. He, of course, played lawyer Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad, and he took up the character again in the prequel series, Better Call Saul. The show is now in the process of filming its sixth season.
And this is one of the few shows that I actually watch, Better Call Saul. And I have to tell you, he is phenomenal.
He's
on
very
that
funny,
show.
Yeah.
Do you watch
really
the good. Show? The show?
I don't watch it, but I did watch the Breaking Bad
I
series.
Envy you, if that's the case, Juliet, because the amount of joy that you would get out of binge-watching this series
really?
Is more joy than most people will get out of anything in a lifetime. And
oh,
to
what?
Think
that's
you get to watch five
good.
Seasons in a row and then have a new sixth season poised to await
wow.
you, you really, I think you should definitely watch this.
That
Poncho.
Just makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I have to tell you, I watched a three-part series. We just wrapped it up last night called Sophie on Netflix, and it is a docu-series on a real murder that occurred back in the 90s in Ireland. It's fascinating. Murder of a French woman. So very, very cool. Sophie. Just simple, simple series. Sophie. Three
well,
parts.
Speaking of television programs, the iconic animated children's show Arthur is ending after 25 seasons. The show's original developer, Kathy Waugh, announced the news on the Finding DW podcast with Jason Zwimmer. Waugh said they wrapped the show 2 years ago, but she noted she thinks the move was a mistake. The show is based on the Arthur Adventure book series and first hit PBS back in 1996. Since then, it has had over 240 episodes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, down the road on this wonderful broadcast in which we have so many things to tell you, I'm going to tell you about a discovery in the backyard of a man who is a gem salesperson. Wait till you hear what workers on this guy's property found. That is going to be coming up momentarily, or actually in a little bit after the Jet Set Julia travel update. But first, let's get over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joseph Nolan, who has been known to sell gems in his younger days. I have no idea. No idea why I said that.
That's fine.
I'm trying to echo Frank's brilliant segues. It's just not working.
That's okay. It's
that's
okay.
Right.
You know,
what, he,
you know I stay up late at night working on these, Juliet. So.
All right, we're going to get outside. We got problems on the Long Island Expressway. Big, big, big issues as you start to come in between Casino Boulevard and Main Street. Bad accident there, an accident investigation. All lanes are going to be closed as you come inbound on the Long Island Expressway. Southbound on the drive, we're bumper to bumper, 79 to 71. There is construction. That will continue if you're on the Jersey Turnpike. Northbound, that outer roadway down by Interchange 7, an accident in the left lane. Also, as you get out on Route 80 eastbound at exit 58, which is Madison Avenue, accident left lane, get over to the right. Now, Mass Transit, everybody there pretty much on or close to schedule, and all on its side of the street. Parking rules again today are going to be in effect. This support of service of America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's Best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Battery Park, Stone Street, Tribeca, Lower Manhattan. There's so much to see downtown, and unfortunately, a lot of folks aren't seeing these wonderful locations and shops and hotels and attractions. But I have some suggestions for you so you can help these struggling shopkeepers down there stay afloat. That is coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update. In the meantime, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's headlines. Hey, Deb. Hey, morning, Juliet. All right, we got lots of news for you. Reversing course yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control recommended that some vaccinated people actually wear masks indoors, of course, due to the spread of COVID variants, including the Delta virus. Well, the CDC also yesterday recommending masks indoors for all teachers, staff, students, and visitors to schools. The U.S. Justice Department, meanwhile, declared vaccine mandates legal under emergency use authorization. The select committee investigating the January 6 riot at the U.S. Capitol will continue a second day of its work today. Police officers gave emotional testimony yesterday, saying they feared for their lives during the siege. A person of interest is wanted for questioning in the murder of a 25-year-old Queens man who died after being shot in his head and torso. A photo of that person of interest that the NYPD is seeking up on our website, WABCradio.com. Well, the Queens District Attorney has asked for dismissal of nearly 4,000 marijuana cases following changes in the law regarding decriminalization. D.A. Gonzalez says it clears the docket of cases of policing and prosecution. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your full forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Right now, we have a reading of 69 degrees under clear skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All right, 5:30 on the WABC Early News. You know,
should I do a little song?
Why not?
To introduce us?
Yeah, I like it.
Rock and Juliet
on WABC.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what happened today in history on July 28th?
Oh, I was going to tell you on this day. That's how I'm going to be doing this from now.
I like
on this day in history, July 28th. 1148. Oh, I remember it well. The Second Crusade wrapped up, essentially. The Crusaders being led by Eleanor of Aquitaine and her husband, Henry of France, or Henry of England, rather. They decided it. We're just going to abandon the siege of Damascus, and that's it. Goodbye. We're out.
Well, on this day in 1866, the metric system was authorized for the standardization of weights and measures throughout the United States.
Oh, well, that's certainly interesting. Mm-hmm. I wish I could figure all that out. It's very confusing to me, though.
No, it's simple. In fact, I'm surprised as such a pro-European person that you're not a bigger advocate of the United States switching to the metric system.
I'm just not good with numbers.
No, but that's why it's hard for me. The English system. Everything is random. 12 inches to a foot? What sense does that make? What's a foot? It's a guy's foot. Well, you know,
depends on whose foot. I know.
Right.
I know.
Right. How many
feet? It's a bit confusing.
How many feet in a yard? 3 feet in a yard? I mean, all these random measures. Everything with the metric system is 10 centimeters, meters.
No.
Kilometers.
I grew up with, yard, three feet in a yard. It just makes sense to me. You know, I like the way they do it back then. I'm a big fan of that. 1742 on this day, Maria Theresa of Austria, who was, of course, the mother of Marie Antoinette, and the Prussian king, Frederick the Great, signed a peace treaty in Berlin. It was a big deal.
Well, in 1868, the 14th Amendment was ratified, which granted citizenship to all persons born or naturalized in the United States, which included people of African heritage who had just been freed from slavery after the Civil War.
Oh, well, we had teased this yesterday, and so now we get to actually tell you the whole story. In 1794, on this day, July 28th, the French revolutionary figure Maximilien Robespierre and 22 other leaders of the Terror guillotined to death. They chopped them off, those heads, to thunderous cheers in Paris.
The first in 1875, the first nine-inning Major League Baseball no-hitter was pitched by Joe Borden.
Well, in 1851, the total solar eclipse was captured for once on a daguerreotype photograph. Is that how you pronounce it? Daguerreotype?
Daguerreotype, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was captured for the first time.
No, well, that's neat. Well, in this day in 1896, the community of Miami, Florida was incorporated.
Oh! That's where I was born.
That's why I mentioned
it. That is wonderful. Well, in 1858 on this day, it was the first time fingerprints were used as a means of identification. And it was made by Sir William James Herschel of the Indian Civil Service.
On this day in 1945, 14 people died when a B-25 bomber crashed into the side of New York's Empire State Building.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, in 1858, the French photographer and balloonist Nadar took the first airborne photo in his balloon of a French village. And that village was Petite Bicêtre. And he was 80 meters in the air, by the way.
And on this day in 1982, comedian Andy Kaufman and professional wrestler Jerry Lawler brawled during a live taping of NBC's Late Night with David Letterman. The shouting match, which began with Kaufman's taunts of the wrestler, escalated into violence as Lawler knocked Kaufman to the floor with a blow to the head. Kaufman retaliated by throwing a cup of coffee on the wrestler. The brawl was later confirmed as a setup.
I see your brawl, and I raise you the foxtrot, which was first danced in 1914 at the New Amsterdam Roof Garden in New York City by Harry Fox.
Well, in 2009, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved President Obama's nomination of Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court, sending her nomination to the full Senate.
And I think we can end it there.
Why not?
Excellent. Excellent and very interesting on this day, July 28th.
All right. Well, any more modern news happening, Juliet?
Well, yes, I want to tell you about this. I was going to save it for after the Jet Set, Juliet. But a star sapphire cluster worth up to $100 million has been discovered in a Sri Lankan man's garden or backyard. That's how they refer to it, by workmen who were digging a well. It's a pale blue stone. It was found in the garden of the gem trader known as Mr. Gamaj in Ratnampura, South Sri Lanka. I guess he didn't want to give his name for, you know, I guess safety reasons. It weighs 510 kilograms. That is about 1,100 pounds, a total of 2.5 million carats. And it was named the Serendipity Sapphire. Mr. Gamaj gave his first name for security reasons. He said he stumbled upon this huge specimen after workmen told him that they had uncovered the stones. It's basically stones bound together by mud or clay. It took more than a year to certify this gem after spending months clearing the stone of the mud and other impurities. But it's got lots of different, shapes and everything. It must be fantastic, but several high quality star sapphires fell out of the cluster while it was cleaned. But blue star sapphires are known for having a star in the middle due to a light reflection phenomenon called asterism. And this region apparently of Ratnampura is known for producing high quality gems. Sounds like a place that I should get a second home, to be quite honest with you. But it sounds pretty exciting.
It certainly does. Not nearly as exciting as the Jet Set Juliet travel report, which is coming up in just a few minutes, and my business report, which will feature a lot of exciting news about what's happening with the IMF, the International Monetary Fund.
Excellent.
I'll also tell you what to expect on Wall Street. But first, time for traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
Well, Frank, we're coming inbound Long Island Expressway. Get ourselves a bit of a problem here now. We're bumper to bumper about Springfield Boulevard all the way on in to Casino Boulevard. And again, the problem here is an accident investigation, an overnight problem. Two lanes are out. And again, it's backed up almost to the Cross Island, but not quite yet. Now, what you can do is go northbound. Well, you can use the Grand Central Parkway to get around very easily. You can also use what we used to call the North Shore route. You go up the Cross Island, down the Whitestone Expressway, and rejoin the LIE out there by the fairgrounds. Now, you're also going to be looking at delays on the eastbound side of Route 80 at exit 58, Madison Avenue, an accident in the left lane. Southbound Garden State Parkway, that disabled bus that was down around 120, that should be out of the way. Mass Transit in pretty good shape this morning, at least so far. An alternate side is in effect. The supportive service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam, $69.95. That's not just a better deal, it's America's best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologist. See store for details. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I need to get an eye exam. My eyes are failing. It's terrible.
My my sister-in-law is an optician out on Long Island. You should
is
go
she?
See her. Yes.
Where is she located?
I'll give you her location.
Okay, perfect, perfect. By the way, Sri Lanka exported $500 million worth of gems in 2020, and they're famous for their precious stones, especially sapphires, which come in shades of blue, pink, yellow, violet, white, green, and orange. What?
Wow.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Love that story. I love jewelry.
I can tell.
What else is going on in the world?
All right. Well, let me tell you what's happening business-wise. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed out yesterday in the red. The Dow Jones Industrial fell 85 points. The S&P 500 lost 20 points. And the NASDAQ dropped 180 points. The International Monetary Fund is issuing a warning on inflation. The group said it could last longer than expected and central banks may have to act. The IMF described any potential action as preemptive. However, the Washington, D.C.-based group added that most countries will likely see inflation go back to pre-pandemic levels next year, so that's good news. The forecast from the IMF came after the U.S. Consumer Price Index jumped nearly 5.5% in June. Three of big tech's heaviest hitters are blowing past Wall Street's second quarter estimates. Apple, Microsoft, and Google parent company Alphabet all posted strong earnings after Tuesday's closing bell. Alphabet's earnings jumped 27-26 per share on revenue of $61.88 billion. Microsoft posted earnings of $2.17 per share on revenue of $46.15 billion. Apple's second quarter revenue of $81.41 billion is up 36% over last year, and Apple posted earnings of $1.30 per share, Juliet.
Thank you, Frank. Now time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update for a Wednesday. So if you are looking for something to do this weekend, follow me at Jet Set Juliet on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll get lots of good pointers. But you don't want to travel far or travel much at all, and you want to help out your neighbors by paying it forward a bit, I've got a few suggestions. I was actually inspired, I admit, by a piece I read recently in the New York Times about Lower Manhattan. I live down in Battery Park City in a building at the end of Chambers and West Side Highway. Now, this was back starting in December of 2001, right after 9/11. And when I moved in, rental prices were down, understandably, but area residents were in large part moving out, gone to different areas of the city or tri-state. And that left those businesses down there that chose to remain in dire straits. It's not as bad as it was downtown back then, but things have been challenging of late, especially for the local merchants. So why not help put some coins into their coffers by making a weekend of it and visiting the Lower Manhattan area? Here is a weekend tour based on the things that I love to do and that you might too. There are some really nice hotels downtown. If you feel like splurging, the Beekman is a must book. It's a Thompson hotel. So if you're familiar, you know that you are getting a top of the line, pretty much everything from service to appointments to decor to on-site dining. And in fact, Tom Colicchio and Keith McNally both have restaurants at the Beekman. You are feet away from Wall Street. You're smack in the center of New York City's most historic district. So, obviously, great Instagram opportunities. And did I mention the 9-story atrium with the glass ceiling and rooms with oak floors, custom beds, and marble bathrooms? Friday night comes in just under $400. There's also Guildhall, which is another great hotel. It's about half the price, but it's very top-notch in terms of location, decor, and amenities, including an Italian wine bar and a snazzy Italian restaurant on site. All right, let's say wake up Saturday morning. You take a walk up to Tribeca for breakfast at one of my top brunch places on the planet, Bubby's on Hudson and North Moore Street. The food here, you guys, is so good. It's farm to table. The freshest, most delicious food, I'm telling you. I love their cheese grits breakfast and pancakes. Pancakes are amazing. Both are to die for, literally. I overate so much of both in one sitting that I almost died. Tribeca itself has such incredibly beautiful architecture, and the cobblestone streets kind of give it that European vibe. A lot of the building awnings are painted dark or have dark appointments, so it kind of lends itself beautifully to photo shoots. Walk off breakfast with a journey down to the southern tip of Manhattan through Battery Park City, which is kind of nondescript, I'll be honest, but you'll come out at the harbor, which is just so pretty with all the boats and the ferries crossing back and forth. And there are some really nice parks if you want to grab picnic lunch or whatever and just sit along the water getting some sun in some of the green space areas. Also, because you're right at the water, you're going to get the breezes, and it always feels a little bit cooler, which is nice during the summer. One in particular I love, one park, Wagner Park, has the free river and blues concerts. The last one actually is coming up this weekend. If you miss it, there's the Battery Dance Festival with free shows featuring all kinds of performers from all around the world. It runs in Wagner Park from August 15th through the 20th in the evenings. You can skip the park if you're not into that kind of stuff and head straight over to the South Street Seaport. Now, obviously, another seriously historic neighborhood with lots to see and do. You can grab dinner on their revamped pier at the Fulton, which is just a gorgeous seafood restaurant overlooking the river. And, of course, it's from famed restaurateur Jean-Georges Van Gerichten, so it's phenomenal. Or if you just want something light, you just grab a quick casual bite at any of the little restaurants there at the South Street Seaport. But I like Luchadores, which is Mexican. It's like Mexican, almost fast food. It's got that Mexican wrestling vibe to it. It's very cool. And then if you can handle all this wonderfulness in one day, walk back towards your hotel, but make a stop at the iconic craft cocktail Irish pub/bar, the Dead Rabbit. Frank, have you ever gone there?
Absolutely. I absolutely love it. I used to work right around the corner from there, and I used to go there frequently.
It's very cool. It's on Water Street in the historic Stone Street mini village area neighborhood, dating back to basically before New York was what it was.
I wasn't sure if they were reopened yet. I thought they were closed for a time during the pandemic. Are they reopened?
I believe they are.
Really?
It was started by two guys from Belfast, one of whom won International Bartender of the Year by the industry's equivalent to the Oscars. So you know you are getting a great experience. And I'll tell you what's happening on Sunday if you're going to do this little weekend. That'll be tomorrow.
Mm. Well done. All right. Well, let me tell you what's happening in the world of sports. Thanks to Peerless Boilers, who brings you the Sid on Sports Report, or this morning, Sidless on Sports. Quite a rough night for the New York Metropolitans. They were trounced by the Atlanta Braves. They're still in first place, but they are not doing well. They lost 12-5 at home as you saw Austin Riley mash a two-run homer and a grand slam. That would be all the runs the Braves would need. But there were a number of other home runs for Atlanta, and now the Mets have lost two out of their last three. Jeff McNeil and Brandon Drury each hit two-run bombs for New York. The Mets will play the Braves again tonight in City Field. Tyler McGill scheduled to get the start for the Mets. The right-hander is 1-0 with a 2.10 ERA. He'll be opposed by Max Fried. The left-hander is 7-6 this year with a 4.46 earned run average. The NBA is planning to implement new rules to reduce non-basketball moves used to draw fouls. The Athletic reports the new changes will take effect in the 2021-2022 season. The league will train officials to identify and rule overt non-basketball actions that draw contact with defenders. Those include launching into a defender, abruptly veering off the path, kicking the legs at an abnormal angle, or the off-arm hooking the defender. The NBA Board of Governors approved a proposal to continue the play-in tournament introduced last season. It'll follow the same format as before, with the 7th through 10th place teams in each conference competing for the respective 7 and 8 seeds. And as far as the Yankees go, Jordan Montgomery shut down Tampa Bay offense as the Yankees beat the Rays 4-3 in Florida. Montgomery struck out 5 in 5 innings of scoreless ball. Gio Urshela hit a 2-run double, and Ryan Lemaire added a solo shot for New York, which has split its last 4. And that's what's happening in the world of sports, thanks to Peerless Boilers. Here to tell us what's happening in the world of traffic, here's Joe Nolan with Traffic and Transit on the 7s. Hey there, Joe.
All right, Frank, two major accidents out there. First of all, inbound on the LIE, we're bumper to bumper from Casino Boulevard, rather from the Cross Island Parkway to Casino Boulevard, where all lanes are closed. There's an accident investigation, there's a downed utility pole, and this might be here a little while. So, again, coming inbound on the LIE, we are all jammed up. Now, alternates, it's pretty simple. Grand Central Parkway, at least for now, looks pretty good. Head up the North Shore route. Go up the Cross Island. Come down the Whitestone Expressway. And you can rejoin the LIE down again right by the fairgrounds. Now, you're also looking at delays eastbound on Route 80 coming into Wakes at 58 Madison Avenue. There is an accident there. Two lanes are going to be out of service with an overturned dump truck. That would be in Patterson. Now, Mass Transit, everybody there running on or close. An alternate sign again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Monster Weather Center, let's take a look at what we are looking at the next few days. Today is going to be a nice day, 80 degrees. That's it. Sunshine and a mix of clouds here and there. A stray shower or a thunderstorm is possible. Nothing really to worry about. Tonight, we're getting down to 66 degrees with a stray shower or a thunderstorm possible. Heading into tomorrow, Thursday, we are looking at cloudy skies with showers and a possible thunderstorm in the afternoon. The storms may contain strong gusty winds. This has just been updated. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms are likely, especially in the evening. We'll have a low of 70 degrees. Then we get into a just stunning day on Friday, 82 degrees, lots of sun. And Friday night also looking really nice, 60 degrees, mostly clear skies. Saturday, 79 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Really, really nice. Low humidity. Saturday is just going to be absolutely perfect. The, I guess, picture perfect beach day. Saturday night, we're looking at mostly clear skies, low of 65. And on Sunday, we have partly cloudy skies early, maybe some scattered thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. Looks like we will see some sun popping out there too, though. And as we head into the work week, Monday is looking very nice, 80 degrees, sunny, and the humidity is back, unfortunately. Currently, right now in New York City, it's 70 degrees, Frank.
A Houston man faces prison after pleading guilty to a pandemic mask scam on an intercontinental scale. Prosecutors say 56-year-old man Ariel Doolittle tried to sell 50 million 3M N95 respirator masks to the Australian government. Problem is, the masks didn't exist. Australia was prepared to pay more than $317 million for the masks, but the deal fell through. Doolittle will be in custody until he's sentenced in late October. In addition to 5 years in federal prison, he could be fined up to $250,000.
Well, there's a story out of South Carolina. It is just a tragic and a horrible story. A South Carolina man was sentenced to life in prison yesterday for kidnapping and killing a college student who thought she was getting into her Uber, but got into his car. Oh, yeah, yeah. The sentencing of Nathaniel Rowland, 27 years old, came the same day the jurors found him guilty of this March 2019 murder of a young woman named Samantha Josephson. She was a 21-year-old University of South Carolina senior and a New Jersey native. She jumped into Rowland's car after a night out in the Five Points area of Columbia, South Carolina. She assumed, obviously, he was going to be taking her back to his apartment. Instead, she was found dead about 65 miles away with 120 stab wounds. It was a week-long trial. Experts called by the prosecution linked Joseph's blood to the inside of Roland's car and to the knife that was allegedly used in the murder. The victim's blood was also found on his bandana and a sock and cleaning supplies in the garage behind his ex-girlfriend's house. The judge who sentenced Rowland said Tuesday, "She obviously put up an amazing fight against you and left a sufficient trail for the jury to see what you did."
McCormick is recalling three of its seasonings for possible salmonella. A recall notice on the FDA website says the spice company is recalling its Perfect Pinch Italian seasoning, Culinary Italian seasoning, and Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Ranch seasoning. McCormick says no illnesses have been linked to the recall so far. The FDA notice says the seasonings have been sold at Walmart, Target, and Kroger, and consumers who bought the products are being told to throw them out.
All right. We are just giving you updates on what happened yesterday on Capitol Hill. It was, if you were watching it, to me, it was jaw-dropping. The committee investigating the January 6th riots held its first hearing, and among some of those who spoke were officers who were there that day, many of whom were injured, many of whom were extremely disturbed by the events of the day. Let's go to Officer Fanon. Now, he was definitely one of the more compelling speakers yesterday testifying. He is the officer who suffered a heart attack from his injuries after he was surrounded by these rabid insurrectionists who were bent on getting into the Capitol. And here is what Officer Fanone had to say yesterday.
My fellow citizens, including so many of the people I put my life at risk to defend, are downplaying or outright denying what happened. I feel like I went to hell and back to protect them and the people in this room. But too many are now telling me that hell doesn't exist, or that hell actually wasn't that bad. The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful.
You could hear him. I mean, you could see him just seething. And as he read his statement, he could just tell he was getting more and more upset. He angrily recollected the moments of that day. And like I said, he could be seen getting visibly more agitated, banging his fist down on the table finally and lashing out at Republicans who continue to downplay the attack. Another officer, Daniel Hodges, he was the one that you saw in those harrowing images, who was caught between the door and sort of the doorway and the crowd pushing him against the doorway. Here's what Daniel Hodges, the officer, had to say.
They didn't say anything especially xenophobic to me, but to my black colleagues and anyone who's not white. And they would, some of them would try to recruit me. One of them came up to me and said, "Are you my brother?" There are many many known organizations with ties to white supremacy. We had a presence there. I know like 3%ers, Oath Keepers, that kind of thing. People who associate with Donald Trump are find more likely to subscribe to that kind of belief system.
That was Officer Daniel Hodges. And we'll continue to let you know some of the other comments that were being made, including from McCarthy and Liz Cheney as well.
The chair of Ben & Jerry's board is defending herself following the company's decision to stop selling products in what it called occupied Palestinian territory, including the West Bank and parts of East Jerusalem. The brand's parent company, Unilever, has disavowed the move as it could face possible fines in states with laws banning boycotts of Israel. On Tuesday, the chair of Ben & Jerry's board of directors denied being anti-Semitic. In her first comments since the boycott, Anuradha Mittal tweeted that she stood by her decision and is proud of Ben & Jerry's for taking a stand and for ending its sale of ice cream in occupied territories.
Well, Barack Obama is planning a star-studded birthday bash at his $12 million Martha's Vineyard mansion. That's like his second home. He's got a few homes, actually. I guess that's what happens when you're a former president and you can make a boatload of money on speaking engagements and so forth. But it's his 60th birthday. Among the guests, Oprah, George Clooney, they apparently will be getting invites. I mean, I guess they've already received them because it's happening very soon. A source said it's going to be very big, but guests have been asked to take a COVID test before arriving at the party. The former first family purchased this getaway spot back in 2019, which is just a portion of their alleged combined net worth of $70 million.
The United States government is selling the one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang Clan album that convicted former pharmaceutical executive Martin Shkreli once owned. According to court documents, Shkreli was ordered to forfeit over $7 million in assets on Tuesday after being found guilty of security fraud back in 2018. In order to pay off the debt, Shkreli had to forfeit his copy of Wu-Tang's Once Upon a Time in Shaolin album, which he purchased for $2 million and is the only copy to exist. With the sale of the LP, his payment of the forfeiture is now complete.